KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning, Mrs. Castro.
Good morning, Julie.
We're excited to have another very special guest with us today, and I'll let you make the introductions.
Well, thank you, Julie, and it's a beautiful morning here. I'm really excited because to have this young woman to introduce to the community. I know that some of you have already seen news stories and read articles about the Barking Bulldog debate team that we have here at Fresno State. It is a debate team that's made up of 14 different students, and we have Devin Cooper is Fresno State's debate director, and he's a lecturer in the Department of Communications, so he's the guy who gets everybody together and keeps them in line during this season. But this morning we have Sierra Hawley with us. Welcome, Sierra.
Oh, thank you.
Sierra is a senior in political science, Africana studies major here at Fresno State. And the way that the teams are broke up is it teams of two or four? Tell us about the structure of the debate team.
Well, it's broken up into teams of two. And you have basically the students are given roles where they're going to be the first constructive or the second constructive. So for me and Candace, I was the first constructive speech, and then she would get the second constructive, and then I'd give the first rebuttal, and she would give the second rebuttal of the speech, so she would end off with her. It would start with me and then end off with Candace, and that's how it is for the majority of the people of our debate team. Well, some people switch off, whether it's the negative or the affirmative, but for me and Candace and Jamila and Nadia, we were both set in our roles for both the negative and the affirmative.
Oh, okay. So, and is Devin the one who decides who's going to take which role?
Yeah, well.
Or do you say, I feel more positive than negative? Or
I think, no. In that sense, no. We don't get to choose where we sit for negative or affirmative when we go into debate tournaments. But Devin kind of set it up for us, for me and Candace, because we have different personalities, for one.
Okay.
And the way that we have our style is different, the way we debate. And Candace was a little bit more tech-oriented, where I was a little bit more, poetic. Okay. So it made sense for me to be the first constructive and her to, like, bring it up into place and set it up so people can understand exactly what I was saying for the last speech. And that's how it worked for us. And I think with Jamila and Nadia, it was kind of that sense, too, because Nadia was just starting. I think it was just Nadia's first year. So
really?
Yeah.
That's
so
impressive.
For her to make. Yeah.
That is impressive.
Yeah.
How many years have you done debate here at Fresno State?
I think about 3 years.
Okay, yeah. So you're really seasoned at it.
Not really.
Have you always been paired up with Candace, or do you get a different partner each year?
At first, I wasn't paired up with Candace. Before, I was, the way it was set up, you know, before Devin came, we just had partners, for myself anyways, and Jamila, I know. We just got a partner who was ever available to go to a tournament. We just, like, hooked up with them, and that's who we were partnered up with.
So I never had. You had to take the initiative yourself to find somebody that you felt could complement your style the best.
Yeah, me and Candace, the way we got partnered up was we went to a debate camp one summer, Arizona Debate Institute. Hmm. And then there was this other debater. He's a great debater. His name was Osa. And he said that, you know, it would be great if you two can be partners. And me and Candace, we always, you know, had to bunk with each other. And when we went to debate tournaments, because, you know, it's like you put the women with the women and the men with the men. So
yes.
Me and Candace were always rooming with each other. And then we got closer. And that's when we decided to debate with each other. So we've been debating with each other for 2 years now.
Great.
So that was my first, I would say, and only stable partnership. Me and Candace.
But. So you mentioned a camp. How long is the camp for, and who told you about that opportunity?
Oh, it's about 3 weeks, and Kevin Kuzwa, our first director, he was the one who, told us about it. I think the year before, we had a debater, Carla, at the time, she was our debate team captain, and she had went to the camp prior that summer, and then we were able to get enough funds to send more debaters out the next year. So that's when me, Candace, and a few other debaters like Andre Mitchell and Chris Galvin.
What type of workshops did they have at the camp for you? Or what do you do at debate camp?
It was intense. It was like 10-hour days.
10 hours?
Yes. And then you would just do debate work every day. It was...
You really have to love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a love-hate relationship. You have to love it. But it makes you better. I know at the time I hated it, but... it really does make you a better debater.
Really sharpened your skills.
Yeah, it does. It really did. And really helped me a lot. It helped Candace a lot, I know, too.
And it sounds like it would give you exposure to people from all over the country. Yeah. So you could see different styles because I've heard that you have a particular style of debating. Can you tell us what are some different debating styles? Okay. What's the standard and then why is yours so unique?
Well, the thing is, debate is more, it's policy debate. So they have what they call traditional policy debaters. And those are individuals that would like to just strictly stay on the topic and they don't really get too creative with it except to say that this is the case that I'm going to argue today, mm-hmm. whether or not the United States federal government should, you know, reduce the restrictions on indefinite detention in that area or targeted killing. Mm-hmm. Whereas me and Candace, we would take approach where we would say, okay, let's talk about the targeted killings that happen within our own everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And so we take it more personal. And then not only do we do that, we have what they call evidence, but they call evidence cards.
Okay.
And so people would cut these cards of evidence or, you know, take the authors in them. But what we do with our authors, we would like paraphrase it and then like write poems with it, like, and make it poetic. Mm. And then we would deliver our speeches that way. And then
more like a performance.
It is more like a performance. Because, you know, what's so sad, I think, about debate nowadays is that you don't really get this, you know, you watch The Great Debaters, the movie, and then you think it's like that, people standing up. Well, now it's like with policy teams, they get to the point where they're just so, they don't even look at you when they speak. Oh. They're like stuck on the screen. And so what we try to do, we try to make it back where it's like you're actually looking at the crowd when you're speaking to them.
Right. And it's emotional when you're interacting.
Bring it back to that. So that's like a real speaker, I think, in my opinion. Yes. But like, versus, you know, somebody just stuck in tunnel vision.
Well, you have to engage your listeners. How are you supposed to get your point across if you're not making that human contact?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I agree with. That's why we try to make it more personal and we make it more real.
Do you think that human contact is what made the difference for you guys when you were competing?
Yeah, I think so. Because for myself personally, I started off as a policy debater or traditional, but it wasn't really working out for me. I couldn't do that. And I think the thing you have to realize, what I realized when I went into the debate space, is that we are given different standards when we are judged. So, like, as a woman, you are not seen as credible or as, you know.
As authoritative?
Yeah. So, it's like trying to compete on that level in that style, I'm not going to get it for me because I'm not that way. You know, and the way that I speak, I'm very soft-spoken. I'm very, so they would like, you know, they like people who are loud and all, you know, these are the things that you
real need. Aggressive debaters.
Yeah, that's not me. So that's why I took it to a place where it's something that I know that I can be good for, that works for me, and where that I can actually be heard. So that's how it worked.
Yeah. Well, that's a great lesson.
Well, it worked for E.F. Hutton.
Well, that's a great lesson in evaluating your strength and knowing that you wanted to be a part of debating and that you have skills that don't line up with the traditional skills, but you felt, I'm going to find a way to do it. And you've done it very effectively. Your team just returned from Bloomington, Indiana as an octafinalist from the National Debate Tournament. And that was 3 days worth of debating that you and Candace did?
Well, actually, we did more than that because we were at CETA prior to that, the Cross Examination Debate Association Tournament, too, which is also another national tournament.
But that wasn't the one at Bloomington. The one at Bloomington.
Well, they were both
the
at Bloomington.
Oh, they were both?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This time they did a twofer because usually they're at different schools. But this year, they both, Indiana State, hosted CETA and Indy Team. So we did about a week of debating.
Well, I love the pictures on Facebook because I follow you guys, and you already know that because I'm always commenting and cheering you on whenever you're going to be doing a debate or go into a tournament. And I like the pictures of you guys. There's one of you hugging. There's one of you sitting down on the ground, just like in the grind, like we're going to do this.
I'm tired of just thinking about it. We talk about brain strain.
Right. But it looks like you have such a good energy as a team and how you support each other. And that's really impressive to me. But when I saw the rankings of who you had drawn, I guess, is that how they do it for your... You guys were ranked 16, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then number one is who they get pulled to debate against.
Gosh. Yeah.
I said, come on.
Yeah.
Let's warm them up a little bit. Can you give us a little bit of a break? But I knew that you guys would just go in there and leave it all there. And you did. And I'm so proud of you for making it that far. I'm proud of you for... being brave enough to go into an environment like that because you're the first team from Fresno State to make it that far.
Yeah, they even gave Fresno a little introduction when they introduced all the teams from at the debate tournament who got to go. They're like, introducing for the first time Fresno State. And then
it's like, great.
Yeah, so it was nice. We got that little shout out from Fresno.
So who travels with you when you go to the tournaments?
Well, Devin always travels because he's the director and main coach. And then so we have other coaches that travel with us. For CETA, Tom Borgini and Marvin Carter, Aaron Weathers, and Max Bugrove, they traveled for CETA. And then Max and Aaron stayed, and then Devin as well stayed for CETA. Not CETA, sorry, NDT. And... yeah, that's usually who travels with us. We at least have two coaches with us, but not too much, not so much compared to other schools because they have a lot of resources backing them up where they have a huge staff traveling with them.
Wow.
But yeah.
Well, you told me that you get the topic at the beginning of the season, which is August. You said it goes August through March.
Yeah.
And do you have any influence over what the topic's going to be or who chooses the topic for debate?
They have a topic committee. I'm not too sure exactly how this works, but I know that sometimes students and professors, they write up a topic paper and they submit it to this committee and then they choose which one gets selected. So there were, and then I think schools have a chance to vote on which gets selected too. I'm not sure exactly how that process works, but they go through all these topics and then they select one. And then the topic that they happened to choose this year was whether or not the United States federal government should substantially reduce presidential war powers of the president. Mm-hmm. And I think four areas: targeted killing, indefinite detention, cyber warfare, and introducing armed forces into hostilities. But
was this a subject you knew anything about before you were told that it's what you were going to be preparing to debate on?
Briefly, because of the there was a topic about 2 years ago when I first started debating was in democracy assistance.
Okay.
And so some of those topics were kind of the same. Where are some of the areas within that topic where indefinite detention and targeted killing were already talked about within that topic? So I kind of already had a sense somewhat. Yeah.
So when they announced what the topic was for the season, did you go, yes? Or did you go, oh, help us?
It was, I would say I was indifferent to it because we're not. Okay, because the way that me and Candace debate, since it's not technically, we always get these arguments run against us, like called topicality arguments, where they're like, you don't debate the topic. And what we do debate.
Are those distractions?
I think so. I think they're a waste of time. But I mean, other debaters would disagree with me, which is, you know, that's their right.
Is it a tactic to get points that a
it's
team will use?
It's a tactic to win. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. It is. So it is a tactic to get points and to win a ballot. But you don't actually really debate what we're talking about. You don't debate the case. You just debate, well, we're not talking about the case that you should be talking about. And this is where the debate is. And I think that kind of is unfortunate to have debates in that way. But I mean,
you can't really prepare for that.
No.
You don't know what somebody's going to choose as a sideline, right, Lily?
Yeah, that's... Tell me about it.
Right? But I think that's what those debaters are talking about. They're like, we can't prepare for what you're about to say. So we need to have these like limits in place so that we can have a decent discussion.
Like a
discussion.
Backup plan.
Yeah.
That's real seat of your pants.
Yeah.
At what point during this debate year did you and Candace start to feel like this is going to be an incredible year? You know, we've got this. We're doing great things. Well, was there a certain tournament or a point?
Oh, that would be Kentucky in October. That's when Jamila and Nadia won first place and second place speaker at the tournament. That's the first time anybody has ever done that. Well, I think two Black women have done it, and I'm not sure if women have done it either. I'm not sure exactly. But and then that's when we broke into elimination rounds too.
Great.
And I think that was our first time breaking at a national tournament. Yeah, I think so. So it was really that was probably the first time when we realized, I realized that, you know, this was something. I mean,
Devin must have been levitating with joy.
Yeah, he was.
You know, to see how successful you guys were there.
Yeah, he was very emotional.
So what is the reaction when you go into a debate room and your team is a team of women and you're African-American women? And you're from Fresno, which they've not heard of very much. But now they know where Fresno State is.
They know now. Yeah.
What is the atmosphere like? Do people give you any attitude? How do you
sometimes feel? It can be really, I would say more so for our district. I think since we've been here for a minute and they've seen us now, I think we're given a little bit more respect. But when we go into these national tournaments, sometimes when we walk into a room, the way that debaters talk to you or the way that judges look at you is kind of, I would say, disheartening. It kind of is.
A little condescending.
Yeah, it is condescending. The way they speak to you, it's like they're talking down to you. And they're like,
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's really.
Well, is that another tactic, like intimidation, like before a boxing match when the guys give each other the stink eyes?
Right.
Is that part of them trying to unnerve you before the debate?
I think it's just the reality of them knowing that they know that because they are looked at a certain way and we are viewed a certain way that they have an upper hand on us. So it's just
they think they have.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Yeah.
Being underestimated is the best tool you can have in your box, you know?
Yeah, great.
It's like, go ahead. Go ahead, think of me like that. Let's ring the bell and get this thing going, huh?
Absolutely.
So tell me what an actual debate entails.
Oh,
when
gosh.
You get in there, is there a time limit? And what type of things are you judged on? How do you get a point?
Oh, okay. Well, let's see. There are four constructive speeches. And those constructive speeches are given 9 minutes each. And then we have four rebuttals, and those are 6 minutes each. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but the whole debate, and then we're given 10 minutes for prep time each. Like, each team is given 10 minutes. And the debate lasts at least 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, even though the speeches are short. It's funny how it still is, it's like 2 hours of debating.
And but it's 2 hours of concentrated to the point.
Yeah.
I mean, every word has to count for you when you speak,
does.
Right?
And so how a person gets good speaker points is, you know, the usual. It's like you have to enunciate your words. Can people understand what you're saying when you speak, your presence when you speak, and confidence, things of that nature. So just the normal things.
Are you allowed to move around, or do you have to stay sitting down while you're doing it?
You know, there's not a rule to this, but a lot of debaters usually stand when they speak, and they have a stand for their computer or for their evidence, which is on paper, like, and they speak in front of that. Or, you know, you can move around. Some performance teams move around. They have some even dance. Some do.
Dance? Interesting.
Yeah, some do. But
I didn't know that. Wow.
But that's usually in the first speech, though. It's not usually throughout the whole entire debate, but
so what is a good score? If you're doing all right, and then tell me about what your score
is. I learned that you know what's funny is because I didn't realize that a 25 was a bad score. Okay, because it's I think the points are 1 through 30.
Okay,
and usually a good score would be like in the 28s and above. Mm. Anything lower than that is really not that good of a score that you want. Is what I learned.
How many people are giving you points?
Oh, it depends. For the NDT, we were judged by three judges.
Okay.
So, which is, you know, not It's kind of unusual because usually in our regional tournaments or other tournaments, even other national tournaments, it's always one judge in the room in the prelims. Mm-hmm. And then after the elimination rounds, that's when you get three or five judges. But this time at the NDT, it was like a elimination round every round because we got three judges. And then,
like sudden death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
So no pressure.
Yeah, it was really because you have to appeal to three judges, like three different people. And then, you know, they have different styles. And so it's just trying to accommodate to that is nerve wracking.
Where were the judges from? Are they affiliated with a college or are they outside?
They're from colleges, different colleges. So it's always a pool. And then we have to think of because we have a ranking system, too, which judges we would like to be ranked by. And then the school gets a ranking system as well. And so whatever we go against the school, they try to, you know, match up the rankings as much as possible so that's as fair as possible it can be. So it's always somebody, sometimes you can see a judge that you've never seen before. So, but yeah, they're all usually from colleges though, other colleges. But.
Now, are you made aware of who the judges are beforehand so that you know who you're appealing to or is that a surprise?
You know what? Yeah, we're usually given, I think, maybe at least 30 minutes before. But sometimes, like this, what happened to us at our first round at NDT was that we had a judge and we expected this judge to be here. But for some reason, there was a problem with the judge getting to our building. And so they changed the judge. And then that judge had a problem, so they changed the judge again. So we had like three different judge changes that for that first round. So it was...
That's pretty unnerving.
Yeah. Because they do have this thing where you can look up the judge, you know, bio, and you can see what
that
they
makes
like.
Sense,
yeah,
right?
You know,
but still only half an hour before. In the best case scenario, there's only so much you can gather from that, and you've already got your arguments set, right?
Yeah.
It's just you have to kind
tweak
of be
them.
On the fly with
man,
making
just stay
it
focused.
Appeal
it's
to
just
that
all
person.
About staying focused.
Yeah,
it's got to be all about staying focused.
Yeah, that's
let chaos go on around.
Yeah, yeah. That's what our coach said to us. Don't worry about the judges. Just worry about your arguments.
Yeah. And like, you know what? You'd make a good on-air personality because, honestly, when you're in radio, you have to ignore everything that's going on. And the mic is on. You just need to go ahead and do what you need to do and do it right and do it well and concise and all that kind of stuff. So you'd make really good on-air personality.
Oh, thanks. Because there's no do-overs.
Right, you don't get to stop the tape when you're doing the
debate,
right?
No, they make you go. It's so hard.
Is there an audience while you're debating?
Yeah, usually that doesn't happen until elimination rounds. So that's when we don't really get recognition until people see us into break rounds. And then that's when other debaters come or other students and they watch, you know, the debates. That's when.
So there are teams who can go there. They've worked really hard. They've developed their arguments and they get there and they're just cut and nobody ever knows that.
Yeah, that's true. It is true.
Wow, that's brutal.
Debating is much is a much brutal sport than I thought.
It's really cutthroat.
Because if I have spent months and months studying up on the topic like the one she described earlier,
right,
that's going to be pretty heartbreaking.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, no, not even thanks. You don't even get to go in the room where the people are that know you were there.
That's true. It is true.
Wow.
That is very true.
Did you get a t-shirt? Something?
No, not even that. I think, no, not unless you win.
So tell me about the ceremonies when you received a plaque. And I know that you, on the website, we'll put the link that can show the different awards that you've received this season and the other members of the debate team have received. And unfortunately, our studio wasn't big enough to hold all 14 members because it would have been great. I like to hear each person's perspective on what it was like to go in and to compete and all the preparation and the sacrifice of your time that it takes in order for you to be. This isn't the only thing you do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But just the dedication that it takes for a person to be a successful debater, you know, I think that that is something to really be commended. And the fact that you do this in addition to being a full-time student, to being a mom, to also working, you must have more hours in your day, Sierra, than what I know about. How are you able to balance it? Do you have someone who helps you?
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about that person.
My parents, they're very conducive in my helping me raise my son.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So if it wasn't for them, I probably would have a lot more trouble doing this. I don't think I would be able to debate if it wasn't for them, actually, because debate takes a lot of time. And there are times where I would have to take my son, you know, to our practices, and mm-hmm. then we'd be there, and my son would be sleeping on the floor. It'd be past midnight. Yeah, he would sleep in the room and put a blanket sometimes or a jacket over him, and he used his backpack as a pillow.
Oh.
And I felt.
What's but his he's name? There supporting you.
Yeah. Oh, his name is Jonte. Yeah.
Well, you were talking, Julie, you were speaking earlier about Sierra's ability to focus. And in the beginning of the season, I was at a luncheon that they have here on the campus. And Sierra was presenting about the debate team. And she was up there giving this speech to a room full of people while Jonte was kicking around the soccer ball. And she didn't even flinch. Yeah. And he's doing his thing. And he's just, you know, being a boy.
Yeah.
And he's seven, right? Is
yeah.
that what you told me? He's
yeah.
seven. So, I mean, he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't being ornery, because I've got a three-year-old. I know what ornery is.
We both know what ornery is.
But, you know, he was there. He was respecting. This is what my mom is doing right now. And she was up there. She was able to focus. She was so professional. And I can't wait for our listeners to see the photos. And you're just such an engaging young woman.
Oh, thank you.
And we had here on the campus, we celebrated her story month. And I mentioned this to you earlier, that I held up your picture and Candace's picture as young women who are making history for the campus today, that you're breaking barriers, mm-hmm. that you're opening up something that's never existed before. So other young women can sit in or hear you debate and they're going to say, okay, that's what I want to do.
Right.
That's me. I can do that because she's doing it. And I know it takes a lot of hard work. And I think that's wonderful that you have your parents there to support you and to let you know that Jonte's taken care of and to give you the freedom that you need to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I see that one of your aspirations is that you're going to go on to law school.
Right.
Where are you hoping to go for law school?
I'm hoping UCLA. That's the dream. That's the goal. Yeah. I wanted to go to Howard, but it's too far. So staying home.
When you go to UCLA, would Jonte go with you, or would he stay here with your parents part-time?
I would like to take him with me.
Uh-huh.
I would like to. But that's all depending on if I can get resources for him, too, because Jonte is a special needs child as well. Mm-hmm. You know, he's autistic, but, you know, he's high-functioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just scary being in that big city and, you know.
Yes.
So,
and to be away from your support system that
yes,
you have here.
Yeah, so that's the challenge that I'm dealing with right now. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Well, I'm sure that their program, if you were a 10 there, would have a lot of support services for someone as talented as yourself.
Okay.
Because when you meet someone who has the strong work ethic that you do and the natural talent and the desire to achieve, that's like a magnet. Anybody who has a way to be a part of your success is going to do it. And President Castro and I are so very proud of your whole team for what you've done this year. We talk about you guys all the time, everywhere we go. And I follow you on Facebook. And when I have events at the house, you're always an example
wow.
of our incredible students that we have here on campus and talent that I think that more people in the Valley should hear about. Well, thank you, Sierra, for coming in. I really appreciate you making time to share your story with our listeners and with the public. I'm excited about you graduating. I'm looking forward to being there when you come across the stage. And I'm going to keep watching for you, going to keep watching for your name and the great things that you're going to do in your career.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to meet you. Congratulations on your win. And we predict big things.
Yes.
Thanks.
We're going to throw up some links on the KFSR Facebook page of video performances and some articles, the Fresno State debate team info and stuff like that, and more photos.
Great.
Well, thanks again to our very special guest, Fresno State Barking Bulldog debate team member, Sierra Hawley. And of course, my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.